All right, welcome back to our final press conference from the KPMG Women's PGA Championship, and it's my pleasure to introduce our 2017 champion, Danielle Kang, 69-66, 68-68 to take the title, became the first to birdie 18 to take the win since Meg Mallon in 1991. You've put yourself in great company here. You're the fourth player from the U.S. to win this year and the season's first Rolex first-time winner. That's a really big trophy next to you. Has it sunk in yet, Danielle?
It hasn't fully sunk in yet, but this trophy is really heavy. I'm really happy that, you know, I mean, this trophy's, I want a big one too, big and heavy. It's a sturdy little guy.
It's a good problem to have. So when you walk to 18, you have the nice approach shot in to give yourself two putts to win. You talked about feeling the nerves and using that as a push for you. How were you feeling as you stood over those putts on 18?
The first putt, I was just more worried about, you know, getting that speed right because it was kind of gusty, but the second putt, let me tell you, that was the hardest two-footer I've ever had to putt. I had to tell myself, Danielle, you don't miss two-footers, so just putt it, so, you know. But it was pretty nerve-wracking, but I just did it.
And immediately we saw you call your mom over. You've already been FaceTiming with your brother, and we know you're so close to your father that I'm sure he's incredibly proud of you as well. How does it mean to have your mom there with you to share the moment?
You know, she doesn't come out to many tournaments, actually. She always says I come out to important ones like Bahamas or Hawaii. You know, it just always falls into that category for some reason.
Smart lady.
Yeah, but, you know, she decided to come out to this one, and I'm so blessed to have her with me of my first win and for her to witness it, and because she actually didn't get to watch me win the AMs. So she wasn't there for that, but I'm sure that my dad was with me every step of the way like he usually is, and I'm so glad that my mom was just right outside the ropes asking me if I want, you know, if I'm hungry, and that's what moms are there for. So it was pretty incredible.
Well, she's proud of you, and we are as well. We'll raise your hand if you have any questions. We'll start here with Steve Eubanks and then come down to the front row.
Danielle, for those of us who never met him, tell us about your father.
He is, wow, I'm speechless. He's just the kind of guy, he doesn't talk much. However, when he does say something, it means a lot. And he's the kind of guy that is very positive, and anything is possible. So I always looked at him as like he's magical because he feels that I can do anything. And my mom believes believes in me as much as he did. And he's just such a confident guy, and he's like a rock to me. And he just makes me who I am. And you just, I don't know. I mean, I hope that I just resemble some parts of his quality. So I could say that maybe, hopefully, that I could say I'm somewhat like my dad and somewhat like my mom. So I just wish you could have met him.
If there's one story you could tell the world about him, what would it be?
Oh, there's not just one. There's a lot. I've used to, you know, he's the one that gave me so much confidence in golf. And he bought me a TV because I made a four-footer one time. We won the U.S. Amateur, and you get a ring. And he kept the first U.S. Amateur ring. And my mom, you know, it was like, okay, but where's mine? And you don't get two. And on the second U.S. Amateur, we're walking down the 13th fairway, and that was our last hole. And he's pushing the cart, and he goes, if I were two, that'd be a little ridiculous, right? And I was like, Dad, let's give Mom one. And he goes, okay, we can give your mom one. I just loved it because I'm like, first of all, it's not over yet. Second of all, he goes, I think it'll be a little too ridiculous to wear, you know, multiple rings. And I go, let's just give it to your mom. And I go, well, were you going to keep both of them? But he's just a funny guy like that. And you could ask him anything and he'll answer with true honesty. He's a very honest and, what do you call it? Just honorable man.
We'll bring the microphone down here to the front row and then work our way across.
Hi, Danielle. I had two questions about you. One, I noticed you sort of started laughing as you hit the approach on 13. Do you remember what was going through your mind there? Then you looked like you said something to your caddy.
Yeah, so I kept consistently pulling my shots a little bit, and he would tell me, hey, Danielle, I need you to hit this 126. And I go, okay. And then the minute I hit it, I go, that's 126, just left. And I kept saying left. I kept ending up on the left side. And finally, we were talking about how we want the pins to end up on the left side so I could hit it close. And then on 13, the pin was on the left side. And I aim right, and I go, oh, no, let's just play a cut. So I played a cut, and I go, what are you doing? And it just, so I ended up on the right side. I go, that is the one time you should be pulling. And it was kind of funny.
And then the other thing, did you have some sort of problem with your ball on the fourth green? I know she called a rules official over.
Yes, there was a pebble stuck in my ball. And he said that it's an removable object, or he said you could take it out as cleaning the ball, but I'm like, there's a pebble sticking out of my ball. And he said, you can take it out, but it doesn't consider as a cut or replacing the ball. So I said, okay, I guess I'm putting with a pebble in my ball. So it is what it is.
Right next to you, microphone. Do you still have a question?
Yeah, just the putting today was pretty remarkable. I mean, not only a lot of birdies, but you had a really clutch par putt down the stretch. Talk about, you know, what the feeling was and why the putting worked so well.
Honestly, the front nine, I was having a little bit of difficulty trying to make the birdie putts. I gave myself a lot of opportunity. And on the back nine, I three-putted the first hole, which is the 10th hole, and that was actually the turning point for me because I didn't realize I was hitting my putts that firm. And I was kind of upset about it, so but my caddy was like, don't worry about it. You're putting great. You're rolling it great. And then I said, you know what? If I'm going to three-putt from 20 feet, might as well learn from it. Let's just not hit it as hard. My lines are great. I'm rolling them great. So just back off a little bit. And then the next hole, I stuck to my lines, stuck to my routine, and then I just took a little bit of speed off. And then after that, just kept on going in.
So. Bob Denny, and then back to Randall Mell.
Danielle, congratulations.
Thank you.
Number 16, take us through that hole, a crucial one as it turned out, and help us with the distance on that putt. Your par save.
I don't know how long that was. How long was it? Do you know?
We're guessing it was 15.
Oh, it was way longer than that.
Okay.
21? It was only 21? It looked like a 50-footer to me.
But take us through that hole if you could.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize that it was going to be that fast of a chip, so I kind of misjudged the read and the speed, hence why you have a 25-footer left to come back as a par putt. But when you're rolling the ball that well, you have this confidence where you just, whatever you look at, you just got to stick to it and roll, and you know you're going to make it. And I wasn't actually stressed about it. I saw my line, and my speed readjusted itself after number 10, and after that, I just knew it was in. So ball left the putter face, and I'm like, that's in the center of the cup.
Danielle, how has winning after going through some struggles and challenges maybe made this more meaningful than had you come out as a rookie and won right away?
I don't know what it would have felt like to win right away as a rookie. If I could wish anything, I would wish that my dad saw me won. I think that it's been a really difficult road for me for the past 4 or 5 years. And it's life, though. You have to, like, pick yourself up, and you have to keep working hard at it, and then believe in what you're doing and not letting yourself down. And I just know that he's here for it. And what are the odds that my first one's a major? I'm pretty sure he has something to do with it. And it's just incredible. But I know that he was there because I felt him with me every day, and I still do. And over the last putt, for some reason, I remembered him telling me, I'll buy you a TV if you make this four-footer at the USAM. I remembered it. So I wasn't even worried about the putt. I was just remembering what he said to me, and it didn't really matter.
Thank you for that.
Danielle, I'm just curious how you slept last night, a fairly high-strung person. and what did you do this morning to sort of prepare?
I did not sleep at all. You do know me. I am very high-strung. I was so excited for today to come. And I wanted to tee off so badly that I imagined playing the golf course so many times in my mind that I couldn't stop thinking about Olympia Fields. I never sleep with a TV on, never sleep with music on, but I had to turn something on so I can get my mind off. And I probably went to bed around 1 a.m., and I never wake up early without an alarm. woke up at 6 a.m., ready to go, and I go, okay, you need to go back to bed. And I woke up at again, I took a nap again, and this morning it's the same as usual. I read a book, and I had some time to stretch and did my usual routine.
Yes, today we're here with our 2017 KPMG Women's PGA Championship runner-up, Brooke Henderson. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 birdies today en route to a 66. 4 rounds of 68, 69, 69, and 66. Brooke, of course, our defending champion. And Brooke, you had all of our hearts and our throats on 18. I'm sure yours was too, with the eagle attempt and then that birdie. How did you feel playing hole number 18?
Yeah, you know, it was a great day for me. I got off to a pretty fast start, 3 birdies on the front 9, and, you know, I wasn't really making any mistakes. You know, I had no bogeys, and I didn't really have any holes where I was too panicked that I was going to make one. So that's always a great feeling, especially on Sunday of a major championship. And, you know, 17 and 18 were huge. You know, to make that putt on 17, I felt like I had a chance. And, you know, I hit 2 great shots on 18 to give myself an opportunity to make eagle and, I guess, take the lead by 1 at that point. But, you know, that putt, I took some extra time just trying to read it and trying to get it right. I walked it a couple times trying to get the pace right, and unfortunately I missed it by 1 inch. but, you know, it was a great day, and Danielle played great. You know, she was 13 under pretty early in the back 9, and, you know, I knew I had a lot of work to do coming down the stretch. So, you know, congratulations to her. And, you know, sitting here a few days ago, I would be really happy with a 2nd-place finish and to have, you know, the chances and opportunities that I did the last few holes. So I'm happy.
You mentioned that you knew Danielle's score at least at 1 point. Were you actively scoreboard watching? How aware were you of what was going on?
Yeah, I was trying to watch it, you know, as much as I could. Every opportunity, really, that there was a scoreboard, trying to take a peek and see where I was at. And, yeah, you know, I knew where she was, and she was playing great golf. And she won this, you know, and I was just trying to make it a little bit closer and maybe force a playoff or, you know, but I played great, and I wouldn't really take anything back.
We'll open the floor up for any questions. Please raise your hand. We'll start with Steve Eubanks.
Brooke, you told me that last year, midway through that final round, you really felt it. You felt as though that was going to be your championship. Did you have a similar feeling at any point today?
You know, I don't know if it was quite as strong as it was last year. Probably why I finished 2nd, but, you know, I did feel like I did have a chance, a really good chance, and I felt like my game was in such a great spot. You know, I was hitting my driver great, hitting a lot of fairways, giving myself good opportunities for my 2nd shots. My putter was awesome. You know, I made, I guess, 2 pretty long ones, and, you know, it was keeping me in it all day. A lot of 15-yard putts that, you know, I came up to just tap in. So the putter was a really big key for me today. But I did have that feeling. You know, I felt like good things were going to happen, and, you know, 2nd place and a major championship, you know, I'm really happy.
What was the number into 18, and then how long was the putt?
I had 236 to the pin, and it was straight into the wind and up the hill. So I was ripping through it as, you know, as hard as I could and trying to get it back there. And, you know, that was a great shot. You know, it gave me the opportunity to, you know, hopefully make eagle. And like I said, you know, I left it 1 inch short, and that inch really cost me.
We guessed 30 feet. Is that about right?
Yeah, it was 10 paces, so yeah, 30 feet.
Okay. Next question for Brooke. We have one all the way in the back.
Runner-up finish in a major. What kind of momentum are you bringing into Green Bay next week and then the U.S. Open?
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited about our schedule, the new event in Green Bay next week. I'm really looking forward to, you know, getting up there, maybe tonight, but early tomorrow morning, and getting a look at the course. I hear, you know, great things about it. And then U.S. Open, you know, is probably our biggest event, you know, coming up. And I'm really looking forward for the next couple weeks. You know, I won in Meyer and 2nd place here. I feel like my game's in a great spot, and hopefully, like you said, I can ride the momentum and keep the confidence, and, you know, maybe win a few more times this summer.
Right here in the front row with Tim.
Brooke, that string of pars from 10 through 16, any frustration along the way there for a putt that didn't drop, or everything go as well as it could have?
You know, I kind of had a mix of really good putts that had a chance to go in and some that maybe I would have liked to give a better opportunity for. But, you know, whenever you can make pars and birdies with no bogeys on the card at a major championship on Sunday when you're in contention, You know, you can't really complain too much. And, of course, you know, if I would have made one or two of those, that could have been a different story. But like I said, you know, I had 5 birdies and I guess 13 pars, so that's pretty good.
The end to Bill Fields.
Brooke, a lot of observers have thought that Kang was due for a win out here. As a fellow player, did you feel that, knowing that she did have a lot of talent and won the U.S. Amateur twice?
Yeah, you know, I have known Danielle for a really long time, you know, back before she won her first U.S. Amateur, and I've always, you know, kind of watched her career, and she was amazing. You know, to win the U.S. Am twice is incredible, and, you know, she hasn't won out on tour, and I think this will, you know, do a lot for her confidence and a lot for her game moving forward.
Back to Steve Eubanks.
How have you known her that long?
Sorry?
How have you known her since she was an amateur?
I played a practice round in the U.S. Junior with her, I guess in my very first U.S. Junior, so I don't know. That was a long time ago.
Right in front of you, Steve. The microphone's behind you.
She seems to have a lot of celebrity friends. She mentioned that Wayne Gretzky had texted her, and we saw a text from John Lovitz. Does she introduce you to her celebrity friends?
No. No. You know, but Wayne has texted me in the past, maybe through her or, you know, just being Canadian. But, yeah, she does have a lot of celebrity friends, that's for sure.
Further questions for Brooke? So you were here in 2010 for the girls' junior, 2011 for the girls' junior. Now, 6 years later, you're the runner-up at the KPMG. Seems like Olympia Fields is a pretty good place for you.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's an incredible golf course, extremely tough, and I'm really happy that I don't have to play it again. <You know? laughs> but, yeah, you know, it was a great test, and especially for a major championship, and I'm really glad that, you know, that it was held here this year, and, you know, hopefully we'll get back here in a few years, but I need a little bit of a break, so a few years would be good.
Well, okay, we're going to go back to Bill Fields here on the end.
Brooke, I know your dad is obviously your dad, and he's your coach, and Chela Choi had her father on the bag today. Danielle lost her father 4 years ago. Can you imagine having gone through that yourself as a junior player, aspiring, you know, young woman player?
Yeah, I know she was very close to her father, and it's, you know, very sad, but I think she's handled it, you know, pretty well, and he will definitely be proud, you know, looking down from above today to see her capture her first win and her first major.
Anything further for Brooke? Well, wonderful having you here this week, and we'll see you later this season.
Awesome. Thank you.